Isa, Deacon Jeff Rosignol. It's a fine blend of discipleship and entertainment. Truth is here.
Now, keep in mind, here's a truism. You know, guys might like monster trucks or something like that. Guys like cool things, right? Think of a beautiful vista, the mountain scene or a beach scene or whatever, and that's a beautiful thing. For a guy, that's even a beautiful thing. But drop a woman in the middle of that, and it's that much more greater for the guy. It's just the way it's designed. You could have guys at a monster truck show, and they're interested. Plop a lady in the back of that truck, and they're even more interested. That's the way God made it, not the devil. I'm not talking about lust. I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about the glorious design God gave to women, not men, to women. God did that. God owns that. I want to make sure God gets the glory for that and not the devil. The world has perverted that. But if you think of all the movies and the stories that are out there, whether it be an action movie or a love story, Michelle and I went to see The Vow there, and yeah, well, anyway, I took her on a date because I love my wife. And no matter the story, it's always a man and a woman. And the emphasis of those stories is what really makes a man is a woman. That's the driving force. If you want to bring out the man of the man, put a woman in the situation. That's God's design. That's why it's universal in all the stories. Men will face the perils of the world for a woman to provide, to protect, to pursue. The reason that it's universal is because that's how God designed it. That's how God designed it. And of course, we have Proverbs 18 and 19. There are three things that are too amazing for me, four that I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the sky, the way of a snake on a rock, the way of a ship on the high seas, and the way of a man with a maiden. There is a power and electricity there that is designed by God, and it is good. Now, we're going to swing back into 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3, where he goes on to say, now, he's speaking to the ladies, now, beauty should not come from an outward adornment, such as braided hair and wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, your unfading beauty, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Now, I want to point out something. This is not saying dress like a sack of dirty laundry and be boring. All right? I just want to make sure you understand that. Paul is emphasizing the source of beauty. I think I just made the point of emphasizing women are designed to be beautiful. That's the way God built it. But Peter here is saying the emphasis, the beauty of beauty, the source of the beauty should come from the inner self. He's not saying don't do these things. He's saying don't rely on your braided hair, the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes, but rely on the inner spirit, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Now, when you combine that, a man is smitten. Smitten is the best word for it. That is what motivates the man right there, is those two verses. Now I mentioned there in verse 4, it says, instead that should be of the inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. And mentioned up above the verses that in the same way be submissive to your husbands, not won over, not without words, but by behavior. In Proverbs 21:9, we have, better to live on a corner of a roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. And then the opposite of that is, like a gold ring and a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion or wisdom or discernment. Those are opposite ends of the same spectrum. Meaning this is that, have you ever gone after your husband, ladies, and you keep repeating it and repeating it and repeating it, and he just doesn't seem to be listening? As a matter of fact, the more you blah, 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 he's running out of the house Please let me go mow the lawn. Please let me go cut off my arm. Please let me get away from you. The words are unbearable. Men don't respond well to words. Lots of words. Have you ever seen guys talk? Really? Have you ever seen guys talk? They get to the point, don't they? And when one guy's talking, the other one listens. Once he's done, he might ask a question. And then he might say, now they might be bantering about football. That's different. No, and that sort of thing. But if you watch how guys talk, they sit back and they listen. They might interject a question to understand more. And then if they think the other fellow wants to hear it, they might give a, have you thought of this? They might give a fix-it answer. Understand? Now, guys do stupid things. Don't worry. Next week, they'll get theirs. But in this, what I'm referring to here is, in Proverbs, it's better to live in a corner of the roof than to share a house with a quarrelsome wife. Words, plethora of words, are not your assets to win your husband. They are not your first and foremost tool to get your husband to do something. Right? It's just the reality of the situation. It's like static. The more, the worse it gets. On the same note, a beautiful woman who shows no discretion, it's irrelevant anyway. And just this week, I'm in the mall. There's one of the stores that brings around a not-so-desirable crowd. And so there's this young girl, maybe, I don't know her age, young. And anyway, she wore a short too high, pants too low, and had two tattoos somewhere right about here. So she goes into the store, and she's showing it to this other guy. See my tattoos? Right? And then the guy, and I'm out there, and I'm glaring over at that situation, and the guy who owns the store points over, look, there's one of the mall managers. And she turns around, and she just makes these horrible gestures towards me. Total lack of discretion or discernment. That was the most unattractive thing a guy with any value would be turned off by, all right? Was this young girl who had beauty but was an absolute filthy idiot, all right? And that's like, ugh, that's where you take out the can of Lysol and spray it away. Get away from me until you get morality. Now, the guys that she attracts are the guys who are filthy, vile creatures as well. Those are the girls who make, if they had a dad, if she has a dad, would break his heart. All right? That's just horrible. And that's a sad situation. So let's keep moving on here. An emphasis, I mentioned the words that aren't necessarily your best tool or ally, but your femininity is your best ally. Because that is what completes a man. It's your womanness. It's your what makes you female. It's everything that you're different from your husband is what he wants, is what motivates him. It is not if you can tell him how to fix the car. That won't go over well. You may have experienced that. It's everything that makes you female. It's everything you want your husband to adore you for is what he wants. And that is what will motivate him to be the man you want him to be. Now, that does not mean to punish him or not give him your femininity as leverage. Because I'll tell you something else. If the well runs dry, your thirsty man will be tempted by other springs. All right, when you go shopping, you don't go shopping when you're hungry. You go shopping when you're full because now you're making decisions. Do not send your husband away into the world unsatisfied or hungry because you are just making him that much more challenging for the Christian godly man to keep a pure mind and focused eyes on what's important. But a full man can take on the world. A satisfied man can take on the world. A man who has been saturated in the love and femininity of his wife can take on the world. Can you dig it? Now we go back to 1 Peter chapter 3, 5 and 6. For this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God. Remember, ladies, that's the driving force. Your hope in God. Suffering like Christ. because we're all justified in being victims of unmet love. But you don't know my husband. He's a... And put down your own shopping list of goofiness that he does. You're right. It's not about justice. It's not about fairness. It's about serving God. And this is what it looks like. And this is how they used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Isn't that it? What happens if we think our husbands are not being the men they ought to be? Fear. After fear comes, if they're not going to be the man, I'm going to be the man. Now, all of a sudden, that means I got to provide, I got to protect, I've got to do this stuff down. Get out of the way, man! Now, is that empowering your husband at that particular point? It's just the opposite. And now you've got this big mess up taking place here. And no, I'm not giving you insight into my marriage with my wife, just in case you're thinking, you know, Michelle's sitting right in the front row. What is she? When you see the big stick come out and start whacking me on the head, then you know I've gone off track. I'm teasing. Okay. No laughing in that one. Woo. Okay. Tough crowd. Let's move on. So this is the motive. It made me... Oh, there was a story I wanted to share with that, but now I can't remember. Where was that funny story? Oh, yeah, yeah. So back in Lancaster Bible College days, I'm sitting there in class, and they were talking about this topic, you know, and just... I was relatively new Christian. I know the world hates God's concepts. Everybody knows that, even the people who hate God's rules. You know, it's an unspoken truth. So sitting there, and they're talking about this topic, and I'm sitting near the front of the lecture hall, and up in the back, there's a whole bunch of ladies, and I'm just waiting to hear this professor get it. By these ladies going to attack him. Because saying, you know, wives are supposed to be submissive to your husband. And then I hear this, the professor go, yes, up in the back. And a lady goes, how could we do that better? And I'm like, what? And I'm looking back, who said that? I'm taking notes. Which one of you ladies think this is great stuff? All right, let me get your names, your numbers, and let's start scheduling some time to get to know each other. You know what I'm saying? That was great. Great stuff, you know, that these ladies were hungry to obey God. Good stuff. And surprising. That surprised me. That was awesome. So that was a funny story. But anyway, so like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master, you are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give away to fear. It is the fear. And men, when we unpack it next week, that's the enemy of men, is fear. That's why that movie was called Courageous. The secret ingredient to courage? Fear. If you're not afraid, you don't need courage. So, now, let me point out something. Abraham did some stupid things. Stupid things. Absolutely stupid. The setting. Here we go in the setting. Genesis chapter 17 through 20. Sarah was 90 years old, and she was told she would have a child. Abraham fell face down, laughing. He said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? Okay? That's part of the setting. Here's the second part of the setting. Sarah was a 90-year-old super babe. Yes, Sarah was still super-duper gorgeous. Chapter 20, Abimelech, king of Gerar, took Sarah because Abraham was lying that she was his sister. Abraham, being a man of super courage, says, hey, babe, you are super haughty, and if we go into this city, the king's going to want to take you, and if I say that you're my wife, he's probably going to kill me, so we'll just say you're my sister, okay? And she, probably knowing that was a very stupid choice, said, okay. All right? So, and this is like the second or third time this has happened. You think Abraham would have learned the first couple of times. This is the last time it happens. So they go in there. Abimelech sees a super hot 90-year-old. All right? And says, hey, I want her. So then he takes her because Abraham said, oh, she's my sister. She's my sister. And the king takes her, and then God wakes up Abimelech in a dream and says, you're a dead man because you took another man's wife. And Abimelech says, I didn't know. He lied. He said it was her sister, his sister. And then God says this to Abimelech in verse 6. Yes, I know you did this with a clear conscience, so I have kept you from sinning against me. That is why I did not let you touch her. Just to make sure, I'm emphasizing that she was still a super babe, is the fact that why he took her and how God protected her from him by not letting him touch her. He didn't take her and say, you're going to go in the kitchen and work. You're going to do the laundry. He wanted her as a concubine. That was the whole point of that. And God protected that situation from taking place. Despite the fact that Abraham did this very stupidly, God still gave Sarah as an example for Christian women to follow. All right? So, that's something to think about. Not saying that your man's not going to do stupid things. He will. But, so there's two books I want to encourage you to read. I've read them both. They're very good. One is John Eldridge, Wild at Heart, Discovering the Secret of a Man's Soul. There's a big section on here for women. So it is not just about men, but I encourage everyone to read it. You can get the audio Bible. As a matter of fact, if you go to the speakingdeacon.com's essentials list, you can. There's links right to these books. As well as, I don't have Mark Driscoll, Mark and Grace Driscoll, just recently wrote a book called Real Marriage. And if you're of the faint of heart, do not get that book. But if you really want to go deep into the marriage mechanics, that's a really good book. So a couple other things I want to say. Men marry to have their very own woman. I know this is rocket science. Men marry to have their very own woman, not another man. They want your femininity. They want everything that makes you female. What motivates your man is your beauty, your body. You yourselves can be his reward at the end of the day. So as I mentioned before, your honey-do list. The more honey you give him, the more he will do. You got it? A honey-do list without honey is not a do list. It's a burden. And then you will get the lazy couch potato man. Because if he comes home from a day of work met with a to-do list with no honey, or honey as a reward, or start with honey and cover it with honey, and then till the end, you know, with the jobs, that is not going to motivate your man. It's just the way God made it. That's the facts. So, and there's so much other scripture. I didn't talk about Ephesians. I didn't unpack at all Song of Solomon, and you better be thankful there's no children here for that. There's so much good stuff in the scripture on this. So I hope, ladies, I hope you didn't feel attacked. I do hope you felt challenged by these incredible, godly, freeing truths. God's truths free us if we obey them and not the world. Don't listen to the Oprah show. She's evil. She does not love Jesus Christ. And the crap that she will dish out to you is evil. That's evil stuff. She's got people on her show. One is called like Claire's Couch or something like that. And this lady literally thinks she's a primate. Her priests are evolution and Darwin. So if everyone's a cosmic accidental monkey, I don't want to hear what they have to say. Do you understand? Be careful of that. On another note, so I'm going to end with the husbands. With the verses, I'll read them out loud, so then we'll end with the dun-dun-dun. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner, as heirs with you in the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Husbands, in the same way, stay tuned next week. It's gonna get brutal. And if you know any men that need to become men, teenagers that need to become men, get them to next week's service. We are going to have a man beat down into holiness. Can you dig it? It's a good time to get them out. So let's pray and worship God.
From Bibles websites to theology, apps to blogs, there are so many fantastic resources for Christians. Get the latest news and reviews on what is out there to help you grow in Christ. TheSpeakingDeacon.com. Truth is here.